We've talked to one of the Bengals coordinators during the bye week, so why not make it two? Brian Callahan joins us on Locked On Bengals to talk running game and everything offense for a two-part interview.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. Shortly, we'll be joined by Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here on Locked On Bengals, bringing you coverage of your Cincinnati Bengals every day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube, even during the bye week. We appreciate all of you who subscribe and who follow, so make sure you hit that bell on YouTube, hit that follow button wherever you get your podcasts, and hit the thumbs up button if you like what we're doing here on Locked On Bengals. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 if you go sign up at prizepicks.com right now with promo code Locked On. Again, that's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. James, Brian Callahan is always a great guest, forthcoming, really loves to talk about what's going on with the team. We talk with him about the run game. We talk with him about Joe Burrow's evolution, about the offenses in season evolution and how all of those things came to be. And he's just, as always, a really great conversationalist and gives really thoughtful answers. So why don't we just get into part one here of our interview with Brian Callahan. Now joined by Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan. And Brian, it has been a bit of an up and down year for the offense, but it looks like things have really come together in the last few weeks in particular. And going back to week 9 against Carolina, the run game really took off. The transition from a early season wide zone team, zone heavy team, to a recently more gap heavy team seems to be a solid trend at this point. Did you have an idea going into that game? Was this one of those games where you thought, we'll be able to run the ball well? We don't need to throw it this week. We can ride Joe Mixon. Even though Carolina had been pretty good against the run this year, they have a good front, and the run game has been a little bit up and down.
Truthfully, I didn't think it was going to look like it did on Sunday, primarily because they had been playing against the run well. They were stout. Both Derek Brown and Ioannidis inside were two really – stout physical players that had played pretty good in the leading up weeks. And then the edge players, we felt like we could take advantage of to some degree. They're a little bit lighter. And so that's where a lot of the crack toss things that you saw in our game on Sunday showed up, is we felt like those were matchups that we could win. And there were guys that wanted to rush the passer. And that lended it to us to some crack toss scheme that we've gotten away from over the last couple of weeks that popped back up and was pretty effective this week.
Was there a moment on Sunday during that Carolina Panthers game where you turned to the coaches in the booth and you said, oh, Joe Mixon did that, or this offensive line did that? Because I think plenty of our listeners probably had a moment or two like that. So did you have one of those? And if so, when was it?
Yeah, it was probably the screen pass early on in the game where he really took off and made a couple guys miss. And it was just a different burst that he showed on that play. And he had a couple runs that were still good, but the screen pass was where he broke some tackles, and it was like, oh man, Joe's feeling it today a little bit, it looks like. And the more that he got going, the more that we felt it. But the screen pass early on was probably the one that was the most glaring. It's like, oh, he's got some good mojo going today. So let's see what he's got and keep giving it to him.
I said the same thing after the game. When you have a screen game going like that, getting an explosive off the screen game, it might be a long day. Yep. For the defense, even going back to the second play of the game, Joe Mixon in the hole with the defender makes a miss, gets some positive yardage out of it, and that sets up a third and short instead of a third and medium. I thought that was even potentially a sign. It looks like you guys really like something on the right side in this game. Your jet sweeps going in that direction, a lot of pullers going from left to right in this particular game. Am I on to something there? Was there something in particular that was game plan specific, or is that just a we've got LC and Kappa over there, let's just go off of those guys?
That's part of it, yeah. It's just those are our stronger, stouter run offensive linemen, guys that can move the point, especially when Kappa gets in those double teams. with LC. They really can get some legitimate movement, move the line of scrimmage, like that counter play that they dented the defense pretty good as the pullers came around, and there was a huge hole for Joe to hit, and they ended up being a pretty good game, about 20-some yard gain. So, yeah, those guys were the guys that really can open the defensive lineup for us. And some of the stuff we felt like, you know, their close side end was a little bit less of a player than Burns on the open side. And so we tried to keep a little bit of that close side mentality when we could. But, you know, overall, there wasn't anything specific other than that's usually our two better, more physical offensive linemen.
Brian, I feel like the run game's been talked about a ton when we talk to you throughout the week, or when we do mailbags here on Locked On Bengals, and fans are asking about it. And after Sunday's game, I think a lot of people said, well, why didn't they do that all season? And I know it's not that simple, but I am curious what your response would be to, well, why wouldn't they get the ground game going or put more emphasis on the run? And I know you've attempted it, by the way, so this isn't me asking, but I am curious what your response would be to that.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. When things work in a game, you always look back and go, I wonder, well, why didn't it work before? You know, the real answer is it is very much a week-to-week league, and things work against some teams that don't work against others. But at the end of the day, it's one of those questions that isn't necessarily unexpected. But the things that we did in that game weren't really all that different than some of the things we've done in the previous weeks, other than we got a little bit more out of it as far as we made some guys miss. Joe made some guys miss in the hole. We got on the perimeter a little bit more than we probably have. We had gone away from some of those things, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks because we've been in the gun so much. But we tossed a few perimeter plays in the gun that ended up being productive. And we ended up, you know, under center a little bit more this week, and we had some more different personnel groupings in. And the ultimate answer is that you can have all the different schemes you want. You're going to have to do some version of all of them, you know, and I think we're finding our groove a little bit with the gap scheme, and it's been a lot more productive for us. We've leaned into the gun run over the last couple of weeks, and that's been really good as well. But I think one of the things that we measure the run game success on is our efficiency. And we may not have a ton of yard production. You know, we might not run for 150 every game, but when we're running it efficiently. We're getting first downs on second and two. We're scoring in the red zone, and we're getting 4 yards plus when we're handing it off. And we try to do our best to do that into some advantageous looks and the right looks. And so, you know, the efficiency for us is much more important than the overall numbers, but certainly it was nice to see our ground game get rolling the way that Joe had it rolling on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll get back to our interview with Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan in just a second. But first, a word from Prize Picks, because Prize Picks is daily fantasy done right. You're picking, well, 2 to 5 players and whether they're going to score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. No competing against thousands of other people. No. It's just their projection. You're competing against Prize Picks. And if you win big, like, and I talk about him all the time when we talk about Prize Picks, Stan the Man has showed me multiple slips from Prize Picks where he has won big, and you can too. Like I said, daily fantasy done right. And it's not just NFL, it's NBA, it's college football, it's Major League Baseball, and so much more. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users are going to get a 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code locked on. Again, use promo code locked on at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, let's get back to our interview with Bengals OC Brian Callahan.
Yeah, when you go for 7 yards a carry with your primary running back, you're probably feeling like things are pretty easy as an offensive play caller, I'd imagine. What did you sense any difference in the offensive line in particular after the game? What there's been, you know, people asking me and people discussing, oh yeah, this can build confidence. I think it was even on the Pat McAfee show. I think they had who's a former lineman they have on the show? Shipley, maybe? Anyway, yeah. They had a former lineman on the show breaking down one of your running plays, and I think it was the GT counter. And he's breaking it down, and you know, McAfee and those guys are asking, like, is this something that can build the confidence of an offensive line? Will this translate to pass blocking? Did you see any of that on the inside? Just looking at those guys after the game, were they a little feeling yeah. themselves a little bit?
I felt it from them. I felt it from the way that they were coming off the ball during the game, and the way that they, look, everybody hears the negativity. You know, those guys aren't, they're human. They probably don't participate in social media as much as the average person, but they get asked all the questions and they hear all the things that people say. And, at some point you start to, it does start to wear on you to some degree. And so for those guys to go out and play the way they played and get some confidence and a little bit of groove and some rhythm going in the run game, I think was very beneficial. And that is a real thing. There is some momentum involved in it. There is some confidence that grows from it where you feel good the next time you go out and you feel better that, you're going to be able to perform at that level again. Now, to reach the same level on Sunday every week would be relatively difficult. But I do think that it does have an effect when you go out and play that well, that you get the guys, they start to feel a little bit better together. They feel more confident in what we're doing and how we're doing it and then how they're executing it, which I think is, something that we're excited about.
Sticking with the offensive line, Brian, Lyle Collins was, and I don't know, just speaking of social media, if you followed along on that Saturday when he was still in town and he was at Kenwood Mall and fans were chasing him around. And by the way, that's like right down the street from my house. I was like, do I really need to go to Kenwood Mall right now? Like it was that crazy. I did not. No, I was like, all right, let's not go too crazy. I was like, come on, if they're going to sign him, they're going to sign him. He's not going to break news to me at the mall. So I did not go, but I was tempted because it's right down the street. And so expectations were high. How has he played in recent weeks? Because I've certainly noticed him more. Obviously, the Carolina game, it doesn't take an offensive line expert to notice what he was doing in the ground game. But when you pop on the film, does 71 look a lot different in recent weeks than he did early in the season? And how much do you think has to do with health?
Quite a bit of it. He feels good. I think missing all of that time in camp was detrimental to him overall. Linemen have to participate to some degree. You have to put your pads on. You have to play football. And I think early on, it was a little bit of health, a little bit of trying to catch up, trying to get back in shape, trying to feel like he's got his legs under him. And I thought that every week that went by, he's played better and better. And I thought his last 2 weeks really have probably been his two best weeks in succession. And it's been really good to see because he's big, he's strong. When he gets his hands on you, it's hard to get him off. And you can see even in pass pro, when he gets a chance to punch guys, he can stone them with just his punch alone sometimes. And it's been a big addition for us. He's been really great to have. His strength has been fun to see. You feel it in the run game when he's coming off the ball. And he's certainly playing as good as he's played since he's been here. And it's taken him, took a little bit of time to get his pads underneath him. And now he's coming along and playing, I think, really good football for us.
And with TJ Watt likely back this week, likely awaiting after the bye, that would be good news for him to be coming into form as we get to the stretch run. I want to talk about the speech that Joe Mixon mentioned, and I'm sure you've been asked about this, and I don't want to ask you to share too much of what you said, but did you feel,
or you can share it all if you want, if you just want to give it to us,
no pressure, no pressure, know, you can give us a pep talk, but did you go into that thinking like, I'm going to come into this with a different approach this week, or was it nothing out of the ordinary for you?
No, I did have a different approach for that meeting. And just as a background, that Saturday morning meeting for the offensive unit is really a review of the week of practice, sort of a addition of game film and practice tape and getting ready for, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to attack them. It's like an end of the week review, finalizing everything we've done over the course of the week. And I try to have at least some version of entertainment involved in it because, you got to keep everybody's attention. And I like different messages, different themes. And I think our job as coaches is to find the right themes at the right moments at the right time of the season. And you do your best to say, hear my kids in the background, but you do your best to have, a motivational spot, and I try not to drone on too long about it. And you try not to make the point pretty quickly. But we're using all the mediums available. I've used multiple documentaries. I've used, I don't know if you guys have seen 14 Peaks, the documentary on Netflix, really, really good. about the climber, Nims Persia is the guy's name, but things like that. I use a bunch of the man in the arena from Tom Brady last year. Just different messages from different people that have successful things that go on. And the guys seem to like it, try to keep them entertained. Sometimes I just show their high school highlights and, you know, I find different ways to keep it engaging. But the point of the meeting really is a review of the game plan and how we're going to play the game. And we kind of review the keys to victory and mix that in with the message of the week. And so I knew going into that to the game that we needed a different tone, I think, set. And I'm glad it was well received, and I'm glad Joe responded the way he did. I'm not going to say that, you know, I don't believe that speeches and meetings ever are going to win a game, but you know, I think something resonated with him, and maybe it helped him in some way get ready for this game and play at a level that he hadn't reached yet for us this year. But I definitely was intended to be a little more intense, and the message to have a little bit more of a I guess the edge is the right word for it, but it was probably a side of my personality those guys don't see very often, and I kind of got after it a little bit, which was, you know, again, I think seemed to be responded to well.
When you walked out of that meeting, was there a nailed it mindset? Like, did you think that you did, like, accomplished what you set out to going into it, or did you not really know until Joe mentioned it the next day after a record-setting game?
Sometimes I get a feel for, you know, when you're speaking in front of a group, you see guys they're really engaged to what you're saying, and or they're not, and you get a feeling pretty quickly on what hits and what doesn't. And I felt like I had captured their attention at least for the better part of that meeting, and I think my message seemed to be resonating with them over the course of the meeting. It's roughly about a half hour meeting, and I walked out of there feeling like I felt good about the way that I conveyed the message for the week, and I felt like it was something that they would respond to. But I wouldn't have walked out of there and said, "Yep, we're going to go, you know, score 28 points in the first half and all that stuff." I've given plenty of speeches I thought were good and meetings I thought were productive that, you know, we didn't go out and do that. So I'm glad it was. I appreciate him, you know, giving credit to that. I would flip it around and give him the credit because he's the one that goes out there and plays. But it was, you know, like I said, it's good to hear that the message was received and the intent of it at least worked to some degree.
You guys didn't score 28 points in the first half, by the way. It was 28 in the second quarter. You had 35 in the first
half.
That's
right.
So right, there you go.
Don't sell me short. Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't get any you want to give us a little bit of that edge, or should we just move on and start talking about passing game, pass protection stuff? I'm just going to let you decide whether you want to be on the spot or not.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a little bit. I used a couple of clips from the guy's got a really good podcast. You guys know Jocko Willink at all?
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's got some good stuff out there, but his delivery on some things is a little bit more intense. And I used one or two of those and piggybacked on that. And, you know, I felt like it was time for us to, you know, do our jobs better, for lack of a better way to say it. But that was all of us. And again, there was nothing negative about it. I wasn't directed at anybody. It just was, look, this is the time of year where it starts to matter a lot, and every game's going to matter more. And every game really from here on out ultimately becomes a playoff game. And that's the kind of intensity you got to have, the kind of focus you have to have, the detail that you have to approach your job. And, you know, it's a good reminder at this point in the year, we're heading into the bye. We had to have the win before the bye. And now we got a bunch of really, got the three divisional games and a bunch of AFC games coming up that are really important. And if we want to make a run at this thing again and try to get into the playoffs, which is the ultimate goal, we're going to have to perform better and play better and have that edge to us, that intensity. That's, you know, what playoff games are made of. And it's fun to be able to draw back in that experience with most of the guys in that room, because they've all been in the playoffs and they know the difference and they know what it feels like. And it's a little bit more of a time to turn it on. You know, it's getting short. We don't have a lot of time left to perform at the level that we're capable of. And now we got to string them together for the next couple of weeks. So that was the main message, and it was a little more colorful than that, but that was the gist of it.
Part one of our two-part series with Bengals OC Brian Callahan will continue in just a second. But first I have to tell you about BetOnline, because it's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. I've used BetOnline, and whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football, if you're trying to wager this weekend, which why wouldn't you want to wager, whether it's Sunday night or Monday with Monday night rolling around? The Bengals are on a bye, so you can smile ear to ear, kick your feet up, and wager on sports. It's the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. So go there now, BetOnline, where the game starts. How much, Brian, do you look at the schedule? Because you're right, that time of year, and I know it's a week-to-week thing, but now you can take a second, and I don't have to tell you the schedule, but yep, it's tough. And so it is going to be – I mean, you're playing playoff teams for the next 2 months ahead of the playoffs, essentially. Yep. Do you look at that as a gauntlet? Do you – or is it strictly, all right, let's figure out Pittsburgh and go from there?
It's that. It's more figure out, you know, how do you win the next week? We're aware, you know, I showed the guys before we left for the bye that the next 4 weeks, you know, you try to, in the old 16 game season, you used to be able to divide it up into four game segments. And it's just a little bit, not quite that easy now, but you know, we went 3-1 in our last four games and I showed them the next four that are coming up and, you know, we're at Pittsburgh. We're at Tennessee, we're home against Kansas City and we're home against Cleveland. And so, that's two divisional games and two AFC playoff contending teams that we have in the next four games. And the calendar is going to go from November to December. And that's when you got to be playing your best football. And sure, we do look, we know what's ahead of us. You know, we're aware of it. I think our players are aware of it, but I like it. I think it's a good thing. I think there's something about that and how we performed last year in those spots and now get a chance to, you know, here it comes. If you want to be at the same place we were at the end of last year, these are all the teams you're going to have to beat anyway. So you might as well start playing well against them now, because you're going to see them at some point. They're going to stand in our way if we want to make it to the end of it. All these teams are all going to be there. And so it is what it is. And that's just the nature of football. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what our guys are made of and how they're going to perform. And, you know, the goal is to go 3-1 in the next stretch. And hopefully that – you go 3-1 and 3-1, you find yourself in a pretty good spot, and it's going to be a lot easier said than done. But we're going to play all the teams that are going to be standing in our way from here until February. And if we want a part of it, we got to rise up to the occasion and play well against these guys now.
And when you talk about that and you talk about how last season went, it made me think about how certain things seem to be somewhat cyclical. And you can tell me if you're sick of talking about the comparisons of last year and this year, where, you know, some of the things are, you know, same record going into the bye, a tough playoff schedule on the back stretch of the schedule, and, you know, needing to win those games and stay hot and stay executing at a high level. But other things that stand out to me are reinventing the running game. And maybe I'm overstating that, but totally changing your running game in season. And this feels like it's happened a few times in your tenure in Cincinnati. Do you feel any of these things is like, oh yeah, we've gone through this before. We've had to redesign our running game. We've had to go, you know, from starting the season as this under center wide zone team wanting to do a bunch of stuff off of that to going pure shotgun a couple of weeks. Is that something that you're just comfortable with because you've done it before? Or is this truly like a season to season thing? This season calls for something different and this is our adaptation this year. And if that's the case, what was that like? What was that realization like that you needed to start making this transition?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because I think it's a little bit of all of it. You know, we're the benefit that we have is we've been together now for a long time, especially in the coaching staff. Most of us have been together for four seasons, going on four seasons now. Obviously, Frank has been with us for two, and that goes a long way in deciding and knowing when it's time to pivot off of something without having to worry about it too much. This isn't working. Let's try something different. That's a big part of it. The second part of it, I think, is, you know, with four new starters and a new tight end, really trying to figure out what it is that they do well. Obviously, you still want to have some continuity to what you believe in and what your system is and your philosophy. But you also have to mold it into what those guys do well. And, you know, without Kappa practicing for long stretches of training camp, without LC practicing for quite a while, and Burrow being out, we didn't probably get the amount of accumulated reps we would have wanted to coming into the season, particularly in the run game, to really know what those guys do well. And as we started the season, we learned some lessons and learned some hard ones, but realized that we're probably a little bit better of a downhill running team and a little bit better of a gap scheme team that we can supplement with the wide zone as opposed to the opposite, where a lot of teams are wide zone first and supplement with gap, where we've sort of made this shift from wide zone primary to more of a gap scheme primary. And I think it's, you know, really been astute by Frank and how much he's adapted the run game style. We've tried to fit it best to what Burrow does well. And we tried to fit it to how does that all mix together? You know, how do you blend a shotgun quarterback with an under center run game? And the answer is really, so far what we've done is find gap runs from the gun, find RPOs from the gun, and make those things look as close to similar as possible with the pass game. And so it's been an ongoing week to week proposition, and every week isn't always going to look the same as the week before, but we've definitely had to pivot and change and really try to tailor what we do to what our guys' strengths are up front. And for Mixon too. Mixon is a much better downhill runner, and that's been proven, I think, over the last couple of weeks. He's done a much better job hitting the holes and finding ways to get downhill and get efficient runs. And so, you know, it's a year to year. Every year you're trying to find, you know, what you guys do well. And hopefully we get a bunch of experience and we get these linemen here for the next handful of years and we know a lot better. But certainly early in the year was a feeling out period for us and, you know, learned some lessons along the way.
How much do you need to go under center? You mentioned Burrow, and I don't think it's a secret how comfortable he is in shotgun. And now that you've shown that you can run out of the shotgun, Mixon looks pretty comfortable now in that, doing that. So do you need, I know you'd have to do it a little bit, but can it just be a little bit this time of year and you just put Joe in the shotgun and Mixon right next to him?
Yeah, I think you can. I don't think there's any limitations on the effectiveness of how you can marry the two things. I think we've done a pretty good job of it as of late. The last month or so of marrying that gun run, gun play action, which does, you know, it's still effective. We've had some pretty good looks in the play action game.
Atlanta.
There's definitely times where it has its effects. And now we've probably skewed much more run in the gun. And so you get the same type of reactions from guys when you get the play action from the gun as well. And so I don't think it requires you to have to go under center. I do. And we'll always believe that if you're going to run wide zone and that's what you're going to do, you likely need to be under center for that and play all the things off of it. But we've tended to not have very much success with the keepers over our time. And, you know, the more you watch keepers around the league, they really struggle. You know, they're not very exciting plays. And then occasionally one out of probably every 15 or 20 ends up being a nice gain. You end up hitting a high cross or something like that. But the nakeds tend to be pretty ugly across the league right now for whatever reason. And so it's, you know, you have to adapt and change your scheme some. And if you're under center running wide zone, your complements are always going to be the keeper game and some of all the wide zone play action off of it. And if you're not going to do all those things, then it's probably not a great package for you. And so we've definitely leaned away from that some. And there'll be times when we get under center too, you know, when we really got to get off the ball and run some wide zones. That'll come up. It's not going to go away. And, you know, you just have to do a good job of mixing those things up together.
All right, we're going to cut the interview there. We'll get back to it in our next episode. Another load of great information and great insight from Brian Callahan coming up in our next episode. And you just can't say enough. I mean, if you've just watched this part of the interview, you can't say enough about how nice those interviews with him go. Just really easy to talk to. Always a privilege when he is on the show. And we're going to get into some more of this conversation on our next episode. We'll even ask him about how they're self-scouting, how they handle fourth down decisions, which a lot of those robots out there on the internet that put together their fourth down percentages and whether you should go for it or not haven't necessarily agreed with the Bengals. So we'll talk with him about that in addition to Joe Burrow's growth and more on our next episode. So make sure you tune in for part two with Brian Callahan. And we appreciate you listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast. Until next time, hoo day, and have a good one.